It is good that we can worship together once again. It won't be long before we'll be back in the willow tree. We're going to start singing by Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus.
Oh,
Dear Lord, we come to you as your people, believers, ambassadors for Jesus, thrilled that we are part of your worldwide family. And it's all only possible because Jesus came into the world, took our sin upon his body, and died to deal with sin once and for all, and to give to all who repent the gift of eternal life. O Lord, you are such a great and wonderful God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And as we meet together, we are aware that we do fail you at times, and we want to ask for your forgiveness. But we also know that we could not serve you without your guidance, your wisdom, and your help. And so, Lord, we pray for leaders in different nations. We pray, Lord, for the situation in India. And we pray, Lord, for the many decisions that still have to be made throughout this world that are going to be difficult decisions. And so, Lord, give all people in power throughout this world your wisdom and your guidance. We thank you for all that's happening in our own country at this time, for all that's happening in the United Kingdom. We pray for those who will be elected or re-elected to serve in local councils and in other places of authority. Lord, we pray that you will guide all people and that they will respond to that guidance. We ask, Lord, for a complete recovery from the virus. We thank you for all those people that have spent their time and their energies on serving people, both with the virus itself and with the vaccinations. We thank you, Lord, for all who serve our country in so many other ways. And we thank you for volunteers. And Lord, now we want to pray for our own families and friends, the people that we love, the people that we're beginning to be able to see. And soon, as gatherings like churches, we will soon be together, and we look forward to that wonderful day. But Lord, we want to acknowledge that you have worked through the politicians, you have worked through the doctors, the nurses, the NHS, all of these people and organizations have known your guidance. And we want to thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that you would continue to be with those in our families, those that we know, those that we meet, those that we love. And especially, Lord, for those who are not well. We ask that you would be their companion and their healer. And as we continue in worship now, Lord, we ask that you will not only hear our prayers, but we know you will be faithful in answering the prayers. Lord, may you be praised above all other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Acts 1:1-11. Establishment of the Church. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave him and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speaking about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen."
We're going to sing "Hail the Day That Sees Him," Jesus, of course, rise.
Christ,
This coming Thursday is what we call Ascension Day. And so I want to bring to your notice the importance of the Ascension of Jesus. The Ascension was a very significant reality for the first Christian disciples, but it lost much of its importance for modern Christians. However, it is important to respect, that we should respect this very valuable piece of Christian faith. It took place 30 days after the resurrection. And I want to share with you concerning it. Number one, the Ascension brings security in an insecure world. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." The Ascension proclaims the actual reign of Jesus. Wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, as believers, Jesus is King and Lord over them. The world, even now, is in with His authority. Nothing can affect us or afflict us but by His permission. And so number two, there is comfort in our sufferings. The writer of the Hebrews says this: "We have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens." Jesus has carried His humanity into the transcendent being of the Godhead. In other words, there is now a human being in the Godhead. Ascension means that God has forever a human heart. This truth is graphically expressed in the vision that we find in Revelation chapters 5 and 6. The wounded lamb on the throne. His scars in heaven are signs not of failure, but of His compassion, His identification with us in all our struggles and sorrows. You know, friends, I must confess that it was Bruce Milne, a tutor at Spurgeon's College, that helped me personally to understand more of the Christian truth, and especially of the Ascension of Jesus. Number three, we have mission in the name of Jesus. Because when Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me," He continued to say, "Therefore, go and share His love." The ascended Lord sends out the church to preach the gospel to every creature, to teach, to heal, and to minister to every need. This is not to make Jesus King in the world, but because the world's King has sent us to do His work. Number four, resources for all our Christian living and serving. We have the promised Holy Spirit, which Jesus, now exalted, sends to the church. So the Spirit binds the body of Jesus on the earth to its exalted head, and through Him it flows into all members. In other words, the ascended Jesus gives us the gifts of the Spirit, and he anoints the witness of Jesus with power and authority. That is what the Spirit does for us. The same power which resurrected Jesus and set him at the right hand of God is the same power that is available to us via the Spirit himself. And then finally, number 5, the power of Jesus, his coming reign. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. You see, my friends, the resurrection and the ascension point forward to the return of Jesus in glory. When he will come to judge everyone and to establish God's eternal kingdom in the new heaven on earth. To know and to worship and serve Jesus here is to live in anticipation of his glorious appearance and his everlasting rule in glory. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming. Blessed are they who keep the word of prophecy that you believe." You know, my friends, yes, the death of Jesus was so important because he took upon his body our sins. They're gone for good. His resurrection was important too because we know he needed to go back to the Father and thereby to prove his own identity. It was Jesus, part of the Godhead, that came and made that perfect sacrifice. And he went back to his Father. So the resurrection and the ascension are vitally important that we accept them as true. Oh, believe you, my friends, there are many who say, "Oh, it's not possible." But I tell you this, Jesus did die on the cross. He did rise again, and he has ascended into heaven. And praise God, one day he will return. May the glory always be his and his alone. God bless you all. Amen. Now we're going to sing, "Our eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." We are God's children. We are God's people. And now we are going to remember how Jesus died on the cross. And in remembrance of him, we are going to take communion together. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the great, for the powerful, for the wonderful sacrifice. We thank you that before Jesus died on the cross, he met with his disciples and he began what now is so important to us, and that is taking the bread and wine, which are but symbols of his body and his blood given for us. What a privilege it is for us that we can obey his request to do this in remembrance of him. Amen. And so now we remember that our Lord Jesus took bread. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." This said the Lord Jesus, "Do in remembrance of me." And then, as we know, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup we take in remembrance that his blood was shed so freely for us. Let us drink in remembrance together." Lord, we thank you for the privilege that is ours. And Lord, this act of remembrance, may we never take it lightly, because it is a special time, a special place when we remember the tremendous sacrifice that you, Jesus, made on our behalf. Lord, we cannot thank you enough. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to sing the last song, "Majesty, Worship His Majesty."
All glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem praise. Worship his majesty,
majesty.
Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty,
majesty.
Kingdom authority,
authority
flows from his throne unto his own. Anthem rings. who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty,
majesty,
worship his majesty,
majesty.
Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise.
May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each one of us and our families and all those that we love, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.